welcome to a Friday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Horry alongside, as always, take you to 3 and handed off to our buddy Phil Benatti. His fine show behind the bench, normally 3 to 6. Today, shortened to 3 to 3:45 because the Lakers are on their annual Grammy road trip. I think this one is 8 games on the road because the Grammys take over the crypt, which, you know, was Staples Center before. We know all about the naming rights down there. But the Lakers will continue on. They'll be in New York over the weekend. We'll have that game for you, too. But today, 3:45, and a game against the Wizards that they figure to win, the Lakers do. They don't want to lose to the Wizards, that's for sure. Anyway, I'll tell you about the schedule a little bit later on, not only for today, but for the weekend, on both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. A little bit later in the show, we'll get to all of that, but remind you, Precision Planning, Land Surveying, Civil Engineering, Landscape Architecture, Construction Management, all under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisionemg.net. When we go over the schedules, and by the way, Phil will be on Radio Row all week next week at Levi's for the Super Bowl. We will tell you about the Lyles College of Engineering and what Ed is able to do as a great benefactor there through Lyles at Fresno State for all those grads that will come out of the engineering program. Jackson with me today, a number of emails to go over. Robert, I do want to mention your comment yesterday. I couldn't get to it. You are correct when I talk about the weather in February being different now, at least my perception, than it was when I was a kid, because I have a February birth date, and we are not going to discuss that birth date because I've given up discussing birth dates, trust me. But I had mentioned the other day about trees exploding in Indy when McAfee and the guys are doing his show. And you're right. I'm with you. Robert said he would prefer not to live somewhere where trees explode. Robert, I think that line forms at the rear about people that would prefer not to live somewhere where trees explode. I'll take 70 degrees, and that is, by the way, in the forecast for the 7 day, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But first, where Jackson comes up, and I talk about the weather courtesy of Lee's, want to remind you about our good friends at KFC. You know, the big bowl game is coming up, as everybody knows, a week from Sunday. That's the reason that Phil will be on Radio Row up in the Bay Area next week. But KFC has their bowls also, the $5 bowls, the classic or spicy, ready to go right now. We're talking creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, melty cheese, and crispy nuggets, all stacked into one bowl. You can go with the classic, you can bring the heat with the bold, spicy flavor. Either way, it's a terrific value. They also have the $5 Maddie's Cheesy Nuggy Gravy Bowl. That's crispy nuggets, rich gravy, and plenty of cheese. No shortcuts. It sounds absolutely terrific. I hope people can stop on by. Just $5 for those bowls. And also keep in mind, at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, you still have a lot of other regular deals during the week, including the Tuesday $10 8-piece or 8-tenders deal that's been there for a good long while. So stop on in those local KFCs if you can. Pick up the $5 bowls. They're only right now there for a limited time. And check out the other great offers at KFC, where the food, as we have known over all these years, is always finger-licking good. And we thank them for all their support for athletics throughout this valley of ours. The other reminder, as I mentioned, is the weather, and that comes courtesy of our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been sponsors for a long time here at the station, and also been in NorCal in the Central Valley since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Had them in to do work even during COVID. Really great people. So if you have any need at all with your central or your plumbing, your heating, or your roofing, make sure you give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or leesair.com on the web. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline. That's how we bring up guests like Jackson Moore and how Phil is able to bring guests up to the show, not only for his show, but then he can also bring callers from the general public up. So mark this down. 559-320-1430. That is the leesair.com hotline. As far as the weather goes, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is one more fog advisory. I hope we don't have anything over the weekend. We've talked about this. Anytime you've got your lows right around the mid-40s, you have to be very careful. We know this growing up here, all about it. The weather itself in the afternoon as the sun has been burning through is terrific. We're looking at a 63 today, 64 tomorrow, 65 Sunday, 62 Monday. And then we go 64, 69, 70 in the 7 day. The only bad news other than the fog is the fact that it looks like we're going to go all the way through the end of January, because January, of course, finishes up tomorrow without any other rain. Now we get into February and hopefully we're going to start to see a little bit more rain. We were roughly double the normal rain that we would get for the early part of the rainy season, and now we have backed off to basically a dry January, and so I'm very hopeful that we're not going to face the same problem in February, because as nice as it was for us to get a jump on the rain totals for the year, for the rainy season, it's going to be a long spring and summer if we don't get more rain. So we'll see what happens. But right now, be careful in the morning. Obviously, a little bit chilly at night, but great in the afternoon and terrific for sports. And I do want to mention, not only are both basketball teams in action, the men playing at noon on the MW on Saturday, tomorrow. The women are home at SMC at 3 o'clock. Hope you can get out there. They're also playing Air Force. But also keep in mind, we're only a week away from softball starting. They start a week from today, and baseball starts 2 weeks from today. So that's how much the outdoor activities are going to be taking front and center. Anyway, thanks everybody at Lee's for allowing me the time to talk about the weather again. Lee'sAir.com, 825-5337, 825-LEE'S. And thanks, as always, to Ed Dunkel of Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you about the schedules a little bit later on. And thanks to the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All that having been said, let's bring up our de facto co-host, Mr. Jackson Moore, the king of the bark board. That's right, the man that wants to be known as Bark Boy. Let's bring him up. Bark Boy, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I am battling like crazy today. Jackson just got back from the doctors, but you know what? I'm still standing, or actually laying down, but figuratively, me and Elton John, we're both still standing, okay? So it's a reference. Never mind. Before your time, right? Is that what you're going to tell me?
I think so.
Okay, perfect. By the way, to my great friend Gino in Visalia, this is apropos and nothing for the show, but it is important to me and to Gino. Gino, Catherine O'Hara is a great, great actress and one of the absolute standouts on SCTV, which is one of the great comedy shows ever, Canadian-based, came to NBC in the 80s. John Candy, Eugene Levy, Joe Flaherty, Martin Short was, the list goes on and on. Catherine O'Hara, Andrea Martin. Catherine O'Hara, of course, Home Alone, she's been doing the commercials with Kevin Hart, passed away suddenly at age 71, and it's a terrible tragedy. I don't know precisely what happened. The news just came out. But Gino just asked my favorite character. She had a character, Gino, where she was a combination of two very unctuous entertainers in the 60s. And that would be Joey Heatherton, who was married, by the way, to Lance Renssel, the former cowboy who got in trouble for exposing himself on playgrounds. That's another story. Okay. But Catherine O'Hara played a combination of Lola Falana, who was a protege of Sammy Davis Jr., and Joey Heatherton. She was Lola Heatherton, and she was as over the top as you could possibly imagine. And she would come out, and to ingratiate herself, she would literally say things like, "I want to bear your children." One of the funniest characters ever, ever on TV. So, Gino, I appreciate your input about your favorite characters or Katharine Hepburn takeoff, whatever. Try to find Lola Heatherton somewhere on YouTube. You won't be sorry. And anyway, rest in peace, Catherine O'Hara, and we will get back to sports right now. Okay, Jackson, as we get started here, a couple of emails before we talk about the other things that are going on, including Fullwood back at Fresno State. But our buddy, the king of Las Vegas, Rob, the king of Las Vegas, he's actually in Henderson, which is close enough. He had a couple of questions here. One of the things he had asked about is if you had any additional insight as to when we'll get a schedule release in February. Do you know precisely the time for next year?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not looking through it right now, but haven't heard anything imminent still. And I know it's frustrating. I want to know, but it still looks like it's a little ways out.
So are you confident, Jackson, that everything is lined up here for this conference to have success right away? Because there have been a lot of questions about how much the media rights will be worth, et cetera. You have any degree of trepidation about this at all? Or
You know, I think there's it might not be there's some rumblings that the monies might not be as much as once estimated, but I think the big deal at the end for all these teams involved is that the gulf between the remaining Mountain West schools and what the Pac-12 will be getting is going to be wide. And so there may be goals to grow and get a larger piece of that pie down the road, but at least right now, you know, you're not going to be part of those teams that are really, really going to be struggling.
Well, as Rob pointed out, the SIDs and presidents are meeting in San Ramon. Of course, that is where the facility is right now. We talked about this, that the Pac-12 network had been in downtown San Francisco. And as we've discussed, and it seems like 50 years ago, Jackson, when Kliavkov thought his biggest concern was going to be, could he move the production facilities of the Pac-12 to Las Vegas? Remember that? That was like 2022. The world has been turned upside down as far as college athletics goes since then. And the decision was made that they would not move to Vegas, which is where Kliavkov was living, by the way, probably still is, but not, of course, part of the Pac now. And they decided to get out of the high-rent district of downtown San Francisco and go across to the East Bay to San Ramon. And that's where everything will happen now. And all these questions I've had about what are they going to do with the network itself, all I can tell you is I'd be very, very surprised to see it back up on satellite or cable carriage. That's too expensive. Since the time they first started the Pac-12 network and all the problems they had, it's become much more commonplace because of fiber optic to just keep everything streaming. And I think that's what will happen. But as far as the paywalls and all of that, we are going to at some point discuss it, because as I mentioned to you, Jackson, last week, when you talk about putting your conference network behind a paywall, you have combinations. For instance, the Big Ten has basic cable, basic satellite, and then they have Big Ten Plus, same with the SEC, same with the ACC, etc. Okay, when you do that and you have two different levels, that's fine. And we know ESPN has all sorts of different levels now. They have ESPN Unlimited. They've rebranded ESPN Plus, but they always have the basic cable, if you will, where you can get to a lot of stuff without the paywall. My question to you, Jackson, is the one I started to ask last week to you. If you want to talk about being behind a paywall, that's fine as long as you have the inventory to generate the revenue, meaning if all of your games, because you don't have that many with eight schools, if all of your games of which you have rights, that would be conference games or home games in the non-conference, if they're already taken up by your three main network players, talking about CBS Sports Network, and of course they have, you know, added things like USA Network to what they're doing. When you have, Jackson, three partners, which they do because the CW is there, of course, how in the world do you have enough sought-after inventory? And I'm not knocking any other sport, but you're not worried about, you know, whether people want to pay for soccer or whatever. It is all about football and basketball. If you've got three networks already going after eight schools, how in the world are you going to have enough inventory left over to justify the paywall? That's my question to you.
Yeah, it's, I think the key word you mentioned is sought after, because while that many media partners and that few schools, there's probably not going to be many football or men's basketball games left to go around. But you think about the Mountain West Network and how much is available there and how many times Fresno State fans tune in there for anything basically other than football and men's basketball. A lot of men's basketball is on there too. It's just, it's a expectation that your conference is going to have some sort of platform for all the events that aren't going to be on national television. And there's a few different ways to go. You know, you can, it would be unlikely, but ESPN Plus is a home for a lot of that stuff, or you can have your own paywalled network, or you can offer it for free. And it's very nice that the Mountain West offers a lot of that for free, or all of it, basically. The hard part is, I think a lot of the people that are going there to watch it are really motivated to get there in the first place, and they probably would pay, so it feels like a money grab. But we're basically in the age of money grabs, where you know, you got to get as much revenue in as possible to try to keep up.
Well, you're right. And, you know, it's interesting when, yeah, I don't think it's being done anymore, but a couple of years ago on the net, they actually had the number of viewers real time. And so you'd see, come up with the baseball and softball tournaments, postseason tournaments. So you would see the real numbers, and at times there would just be a couple hundred people, and then it would pick up and then drop off. And you realize, somewhat for the Mountain West, that you really could not have done anything behind a paywall. There wasn't enough interest, period, to do that. The PAC, as you and I talked last week, when they had the Pac-12 network, which was an abject failure, they never could get satellite carriage. And again, they wanted to have six regional networks and one national network. That meant seven different entities up there for the PAC serving their geographic areas, because I think people who are aware of the Pac-12 was divided in paired off geographic locations, meaning two schools in NorCal, two schools in SoCal, two in the state of Oregon, two in the state of Washington, the two in the mountain states, and then the two in Arizona. So yes, it was there, and it should have been able to get done, but they could never agree on how much they wanted. And DirecTV, even when DirecTV had partial ownership, would tell them it was too expensive to do it the way they wanted to do it. Well, you don't have to worry about that now because of the streaming. But, Jackson, what happened was, and this is part of that blow-up that caused the implosion, that caused the entire mess, when the year started, the Pac-12 network would divvy up the games that ABC was going to have, ESPN was going to have, et cetera. And then the remainder of those games, talking about football in particular, would end up on the Pac-12 network. Sometimes those games that didn't appear to be real important to the network ended up to be critical for the chase to the conference title. And yet those were tied up with the Pac-12 network. That's one of the reasons that ESPN, when they made the offer to try to save things, after SC and UCLA were leaving, one of the things they said is, we will pay you the kind of money you want per school only if we get full possession of the Pac-12 network, which is what ESPN has with the ACC and the SEC, et cetera. They're in partnership there. That's when the econ professors jumped in, Cal, Stanford, take your pick, and changed the valuation from $30 million per school to $50 million per school. And as we've talked over and over again, that's when ESPN said, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you, okay? See ya. We'll call you. Don't worry about it, which means you're not getting a call. That's what caused the panic. That's what caused that the comment by Scott Barnes that we were 10 minutes from a deal and all of a sudden two schools got greedy. Well, take your pick which two schools he's talking about, right? And that's what caused then everybody to leave. Oregon and Washington, see you later. The corner schools off to the Big 12. Because the Pac-12 network became a huge bone of contention. Jackson, I know they have production facilities in San Ramon and they can do things away from just conference stuff, but I am hopeful that there is not going to be any kind of arrogance at this current configuration of the pack at the upper echelon to think that they can overvalue their product, because they would be damn fools if they do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if the media partner dollars are coming in shy, then that puts you in a conundrum, because that does mean even already you probably overvalued what you thought you were going to be. And then are you going to turn around and try to get some money out of an additional revenue stream here that can you actually get it or not from this paywall, from the extra broadcast? So also, you know, there's just a lot that seems to be unanswered right now. So this is just one of the many topics we're trying to sort out. And you know, getting what feels like close to the finish line is still a ways out, but it would be nice to know all this stuff right now ahead of time.
Yeah, you're right. It's also the reason I don't get any sleep at night, as you know. Okay. This, like I said, this show is my lunch hour and my catharsis. Trust me, the rest of the day and the play-by-play at night, you don't want none of that. And you are a smart enough guy to realize that there actually is something beyond work for your life. Are you still in line with that, or have you crossed over to have you crossed over to the dark side with your schedule now, Luke? Just wondering.
There's some times of the year it certainly feels like that, but not all the time, thankfully.
Well, you're not 69 years old yet, and I still have a week plus to go. I may not make it myself. And one more time, tell your dad I said happy birthday, okay? we are kindred souls, trust me. All right, the other thing that Rob wanted to know about, he said on another note, he realizes that Trent Dilfer did not have a lot of success at UAB as a head coach. A lot of controversy there with Trent. He said, however, do you think he'll get another opportunity as a head coach at the FBS level? And he also was wondering if Trent would consider an assistant-level coaching job at Fresno State. He would love, Rob said, to see him connected to his alma mater. Your thoughts about any and all of that, Jackson?
Yeah, well, at least for the time being, he's going to go back to his former high school where, you know, they had a lot of college talent, but it's one of those prep school factory type deals for high school football. So I imagine he could have had other options, and that was what was going to make him happiest for the time being. So I hope he settles back in. I know the UAB deal was a tough one for him. You know, it seems like it would make a lot of sense at some point down the road to have a name and a figure and a person with that type of coaching resume to appear at Fresno State at some point down the line. I don't think now is that time, but I wouldn't be surprised, you know, 10 years from now, if there's not a couple of former Bulldog quarterbacks that have been or are on the staff at some point.
Well, I know this with Trent, and we've talked about it over and over again, and I know he's had controversies in his life, and he hasn't hidden that. And I know some of the stuff at UAB was not a good look, obviously, on the sideline. We're all aware of what we talked about at the time. But Trent had said, you know, that he was hardly a finished product when he was an undergrad here. He said he was way too arrogant, et cetera. And he came to realize that as he got into professional sport. Yet he was very unselfish, and teammates loved him in Baltimore in particular, but in Tampa as well. And one of the things, Jackson, that – you know, he was on the air with us when after his son had very tragically passed away. And you saw the humanity in Trent at that point. And, you know, I still feel for him to this day for that loss, which, of course, he could never fully fill that void. We all know that. And so he has been a really good guy to this show, and he's been a good person overall. It's just some of the things have not been a good look, and that makes people afraid to give you another chance. The other thing I will mention, somebody asked me about my favorite moments after all of these years on the air. One of them was Trent. When he played the 49ers early in his career at Tampa and got just smoked, and then a few years later, the Bucs were actually able to beat Fresno State. The Bucs were able to beat the 49ers. And I asked Trent, I said, because, you know, it's always said that after a couple of years, Jackson, the game slows down for you, right? And I said, so was the key, I think it was between 84 and 87. I think it was 84 they lost to the 49ers big, and then in 87 they beat them. And I said, Trent, did the game slow down for you? And or she was not 87, 97, sorry, 93 and 97, or 94, 97. So anyway, I said that the game slowed down for you. Is that because that's always right, the axiom you get, right? The game slows down. And he goes, yeah, it slowed down for me, all right, but I'll tell you another reason. 21 wasn't taking half the field away from me. Talking about Dion, okay? So I thought that was a great comment, Jackson. I was trying to get into the deep psychological growth of a quarterback, and Trent goes to the pragmatism of, yeah, a corner that locked down half the field was no longer on the team. That's why it was easier to play the game. That makes more sense than the game slowing down, am I right?
Yeah, definitely. man, it was fun to watch Dofer play. And hopefully he can have a little bit of that bump up in his coaching career, too, as he goes through this process.
Yeah, well, again, we'll see. And the last question that Rob had is he said he would love to see the Carr brothers eventually coaching at Fresno State. However, Rob is not sure that Derek is completely done with his NFL playing career and not sure that David has an interest because of his NFL analyst day gig. I mean, with David, I know that he's been involved, obviously, with Darren, his other brother, down in Bakersfield. We know that. But so whatever David's going to do, that's up to him, and he still has a long, long way to go career-wise, of course, in doing things away from just playing the game itself. For Derek, it is still the clock is ticking. Do you believe that Derek is actually done? I mean, you've got – and I'm not saying that the money is the driver because Derek has made a ton of dough, but you remember when he signed the $25 million a year deal not that long ago, Jackson? And we thought, you know, what a revelation that was. Now it's like $60 million a year gigs. Will the money and the competition compel him to go back, or maybe not? I mean, what's your thought?
It would sure seem like he's still got enough in the tank to do it if he wants to. And that's just that I'm not sure what his level of want to is. And I imagine, based off of the way some quarterbacks appeared at the end of last season, even Phillip Rivers, that there might be an attractive opportunity for him to maybe come in late at some point next season for a team that needs a quarterback. But, you know, if you're going to put in the work to be ready for something like that, I guess you might as well just give it a shot somewhere from the beginning of the year. So not sure. There's been some talks with him wanting to get into coaching. And you know, I know obviously, hopefully family's a big deal to everyone, but it also seems like it's especially a big deal to Derek and the amount of time that it would take to coach at a college level or go back to the NFL would certainly put a whole lot on his plate. I'm not sure exactly where he is with all that, but if he's got the fire, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go back at it for another season, and I think he would do just fine.
Well, and you're right. Only he knows, obviously, how badly banged up he is long-term, okay? If it's all healable, if that's applicable, then I can see him maybe taking a chance. The issue about the family is a big one for Derek and for everybody else. And, you know, when Tim McDonald retired, one of the things that Tim mentioned to me, he said he just felt lucky that he got out when he did, where he could still coach, he could still play with the kids, he could do, and of course his kids were getting older at that point, but that he felt, other than the shoulder, that everything else was okay. Other guys, HBO many, many years ago, had the documentary The Other Side of Football, and it was the broken men of the National Football League that literally could not walk three steps. I mentioned this, that Conrad Dobler, who at one point was known as the dirtiest man in all of professional football. He was an offensive lineman for the St. Louis Cardinals, and he played alongside Dan Dierdorf. And people, you know, would know Dan Dierdorf as a fine line, but also a guy, of course, spent a number of years on Monday Night Football as an analyst. But I had Conrad Dobler on the air after his career, and he told me that he was taking at that time, Jackson, four different doses of 8 hydrocodone tablets every day. That's 32 hydrocodones every day. Now, this is before all the opioid stuff became front and center. And at the same time, he said he had a company that was running out of his house in Kansas City where it was somebody who supplied personnel for, you know, temps to other businesses. It was he and his wife, and he said his wife went out in the backyard just to sit on the hammock they had, and the hammock was only a couple of feet off the ground, and she fell in a way that she ended up paralyzed. So here's a man who can't walk, who is taking that many hydrocodone, and now he has to be the primary caregiver to his wife, who is now paralyzed. Now, Jackson, I cannot imagine that he doesn't look back. And he said, he goes, I had to be the player I was because I wasn't talented enough to continue. And he didn't make the kind of money that they're making now. But he's a guy who had to look back and wonder about whether it was all worth it. And I'm not saying that anything he did there led to the problem with his wife, but I'm saying the fact that he was then not able really physically to take care of his wife the way he would need to. For guys in this day and age, particularly guys that have made the kind of money that Derek has made, do you think there is a real emotional push and pull about, wait a minute, I have growing kids, I have a family, I have a responsibility, and even if the competitive fires in me are stoked to the extent I'd like to go back, that you just can't justify it vis-a-vis your family?
I think so. I think also there's the average career is not so great in the pros that the majority of players really even have to deal with that. You're talking about a guy in his mid-30s now. You know, there's not many of percentage-wise in the NFL players that are in that stage. So you know, it's not necessarily something that everyone needs to try to have conflict with internally, but definitely quarterbacks, you know, a handful of guys that are still going at that range. It's definitely something to ask, especially if you've already had a pretty long career and made it out and stay in good shape. You know, are you willing to risk it a second time? It's got to be a tough one to tussle with.
Well, and I know that Derek would love to win a Super Bowl. And David was, you know, fortunate enough, although he wasn't a key cog, to be in the right place at the right time after the fact, after his starting days were done. But for Derek, I know that he would love to get a shot and really didn't get the kind of postseason shots he wanted, period. Very, very limited with the Raiders. And if he decides to come back, you know, we'll certainly pull for him. I have to think it's probably a very, very difficult decision. If it's going to take place, it's going to be this year coming up. I cannot imagine that he'll let it go any more than this, but we'll see. Anyway, oh, King of Henderson, King of Las Vegas, always great hearing from you, my friend. So I hope I was able to answer your questions. All right, Jackson, two things I do want to cover. One, brought it up yesterday quickly. Your feeling about Ole Miss and Freeman, where are you at with this thing? Are you surprised? Are you chagrined? Are you saying so what? I mean, what are you saying about all of this? Or is this, again, the old Southeastern Conference saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying? Where are we at here?
Yeah, certainly not surprised. I guess maybe more surprised that it didn't work. That's just why he's still here, and that he's got the receipts to say it, to show it. Apparently, I know this is not a new storyline, and for several years now, there's been coaches making general kind of accusations across college football, and a lot of it's third party, to where it's really hard to enforce if you've got a third-party agent talking to players in November. You know, it's not necessarily a school directly tampering, so that seems to be something that might be a little bit different here. Now, Fresno State's not the only one. Clemson also directly accusing Ole Miss of some of this. So that's a little bit different, and also looks incredibly dumb on Ole Miss's part if they did violate things, because again, there's so many third party ways to go around it to not get in trouble. So it's interesting to see Fresno State in these national headlines on some of this stuff, but and most importantly, great that Josiah wasn't swayed by any of this stuff and that he's sticking around. And a lot of guys in his shoes would have been proactively looking for somewhere else to go, let alone have to turn down some potential financial offerings to stay where you're already at.
So are you one buying into the Lane Kiffin set him up on his way out the door routine? I'm just wondering.
It doesn't seem to be that way. It seems like the timeline on some of this stuff is all post Kiffin. So,
right.
You know, Kiffin might have some bad blood the way, obviously Ole Miss had bad blood with him the way things played out. So, not out of the question, but it sounds like the nuts and bolts of this stuff has happened after all that.
Yeah, he would have to be the guy dropping the landmines on his way out, okay? And I don't know that at that particular point he was interested in, but said down there, anything is possible. We talked about it yesterday, boy, whether it's the SEC or the ACC, anything in the Southeast area when it comes to college football, all's fair in love and war down there. So, you know, nothing would surprise me. I give all due credit to Freeman for, you know, stepping forward the way he did. All right, the other thing is probably the biggest news of the week, and that is the fact that you've got some depth back on the line with Fullwood coming back. Wilson also gets to come back defensively. Jackson, how relieved is Fresno State at this particular point about getting two guys back that they maybe didn't know they'd have back?
Yeah, it's massive, especially at that position on the O-line, and even more especially at the tackle position on the O-line. Getting Fullwood's eligibility is so many times greater than anything the Bulldogs could have done with the transfer portal, the way the market's going right now. Very difficult to recruit in the portal. They do have a couple of tackles coming in that look pretty promising. They brought in Brody Stoddard from the junior college level, who is definitely a tackle, and they've brought in Oscar Weigel from San Diego from the FCS level, who started that tackle for the Toreros, but not 100% where he's going to fit in. He has some position flexibility to play the interior, so there were some contingencies in place, but having a guy that started all year, again, you keep peeling back the layers. Again, a guy like Fulford, who's so massive at 6'6", 330, even the tackles you can get don't look like that, and between him and Braden Walton, both with similar sizes, it really was a good combination on the line to get that running game going and set a new tone for this game. So it's big for that reason. Also, the Bulldogs have other holes to fill on the O-line, so now you go from graduating three starters to just two, which takes a whole lot of relief off of the situation. I think Braylon Henderson is a really strong candidate to start, and so you plug him in, you get Fullwood back, and all of a sudden you may only have one spot really to fill, and maybe about four or five different guys that will be competing to get at that spot over the spring and the fall. So it seems like they're in pretty good shape, all things considered. Jacob Spomer is still going to be a tough guy to replace at center, but otherwise they're in a lot better spot with Fullwood than they were a week or two ago.
Well, there's no question, as we've talked over and over again, the good fortune that your top three running backs are coming back is offset a little bit by the uncertainty still at the quarterbacking position. So if you want to look at where you can level this whole thing out, you'd have to look, as we have for years, at the offensive line. If the O-line can be what everybody believes it can be, now you can run the football, now you can control the clock, now you can make sure you're quarterback, whoever it is not put in an untenable third and long forever behind the chains situation. So anything that helps that O-line for stability, for depth, that's just for the way the Bulldogs are going to play football, as we saw last year, that is absolutely a feather in your cap. So it has been, I guess, as we mentioned, Jackson, last week, taken as a whole, not an injurious time. I don't know if we can always say it's good, but the Bulldogs were not unduly impacted in a negative way by the transfer portal and NIL this year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, the portal in versus the portal out has been a big, the pendulum's been heavy on the end part. There's only been one starter that left, probably two guys on the depth chart. You look around the country, there's not many schools that can say anything close to that. A lot of potential on the transfer portal inside. There's not a whole lot of guaranteed, you know, star players from day one. Tough to get those types of guys currently with the portal, but a lot of contenders and competitors for key spots on this roster, most of them at key spots. Bringing back Fullwood and Wilson, those were two areas where I would have said the Bulldogs probably need to go get another lineman or another safety in the portal before that news broke, so that cancels that out. And again, the Bulldogs, much less about replacing portal exits and much more about replacing graduating seniors, and now three or four of those seniors have ended up coming back on the roster, so that's been a pleasant surprise as well.
And obviously you can't control what a clearinghouse is going to do, eligibility issues, etc. That's kind of up to the powers that be, but the overview is this coaching staff has done an excellent job of holding on to players, which means, Jackson, they have been able to deliver the proper message. Good fortune plays into it, but also your structure, the desire for players to stay with you and your ability to communicate, that has to be at the top of the list as well to get people to stay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Retainment's big, and just in general, a lot of second-year coaches see quite a bit of roster attrition, and there hasn't been much of it this offseason. Some guys like Freeland, especially, who became eligible while the portal window was still open. If you would have told me Freeman was going to get another year a month or two ago, I probably would have just assumed he was going to look to cash in and maybe play on an offense that's going to throw the ball a little bit more. I don't think many people would have blamed him, but that's probably the shining example of being able to keep the guy around, the important player that wants to stick around. And it's just a resounding message from the roster that these players like Coach Entz and they want to play for him. And I'm sure the program did what it needed to do financially to help retain players, but some of these guys seem like they were in a position where they might have been able to get more elsewhere and turned it down.
Again, all due credit to coaching staff and to the players for sticking around, and we'll see what the schedule brings us in regard to Rob's question when it's released. All right, last thing, Paizan. We haven't had a chance to talk basketball today, but we've talked about opportunity games, what have you. I would think this game tomorrow, and again, it's never easy when you go to Colorado Springs. It can be really cold, by the way, in Clune Arena, which is just a gymnasium with a whole bunch of extra seats around it to call it an arena. But it is cold there. It can be cold when you play. The travel is never easy to the Mountain States. All that having been said, I would think that there is no way in the world the Bulldogs can afford, from a credibility standpoint, to lose this game. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Air Force is not just winless, but they're last in the conference in points scored and points allowed. They're losing by an average margin of almost 30 points a game right now in conference play. Last year they were roughly in the same place standings-wise, but Fresno State was about neck and neck with them right there. So this year there's a gap, and if the gap the Bulldogs can't afford to let close, they got to get this one. They got to beat the Falcons when they come to town in a couple of weeks as well. But on the road, right, never guaranteed. It's always a little more difficult, but it would be a big blow if they can't find a way to get this one done.
You are correct, sir. Noon tomorrow, vmw.com. The women are home against Air Force at 3 o'clock at SMC. All right, Jackson, let you go. Have a great weekend. Specials on the board, anything there that people need to be aware of right now?
Yeah, it's currently $1 for your first 2 months if you want to get in and try things out and get some instant access to some of our current coverage and upcoming February and spring football around the corner. A lot of recruiting going on right now. Got a feature with a walk-on commit, but an interesting one, and Jalen Ray Harris, who's the grandson of Carl Ray Harris and nephew of Carl Ray Harris Jr. So, neat story there. I hope people head to blackboard.com and check that out and take advantage of the sale.
Well worth it. I appreciate your time, Mr. De Facto Co-host. I'll talk to you again on Tuesday and then on Friday, and you let me know when you're finally tired of being called Bark Boy. I'll keep on doing it anyway. Have a great weekend, Jackson. I'll talk to you later. Take care.
All right. You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, Jackson Moore. We'll take a break, tell you the schedule, hand it off to Phil's great show Behind the Bench, just 45 minutes today because of the Lakers. But then Phil will be on Radio Row next week in Santa Clara as the 49ers get ready. Never mind. We'll take the break. I'll keep on trying. Bulldog Hour continues on this Friday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 253. Joe handed off to Phil. It's a great show Behind the Bench. Just 45 minutes today, and then the Lakers will continue their Grammy-related road trip as they are east because the Grammys are in the facility in SoCal. Lakers and the Wizards and the Lakers and the Knicks over the weekend. Tell you about the schedule right now, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, we commend Ed for all the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering, where the goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and a lot of those grads go right to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. Our schedule goes, again, the Lakers and the Wizards, 3:45, as I mentioned. Then over the weekend, there's college basketball, the Sharks, the Lakers, all of that will bring us to Monday. Phil will be on Radio Row next week as the Seahawks and the Patriots will do battle on our air. They will have the station will have the Westwood One feed of the Super Bowl. It's also NBC's telecast. But Phil will be in Santa Clara all next week, so stay tuned for that. I have a lot of great guests and terrific lead up to the Super Bowl, which hopefully will be a good one. We'll see. I have a hunch that the Patriots are going to have trouble with that Seahawks defense, but they got there, so I'll give them that credit. And, you know, maybe the Belichick controversy will settle down by that point. I think any time you're known as Bill Belichick by a lot of people, you're going to have a little bit of blowback. So I think he'll have to take it in stride. If they ask him about it, all he can say is, we're on to Cincinnati. That's all he can say about everything. Ask him about his girlfriend. All Bill says is, we're on to Cincinnati. I think he needs help is what I'm telling you psychologically. Anyway, he'll be just fine. Sorry, Belichick fans. I know there are a ton of them out there. All right, that's enough of that and enough sarcasm out of me. Okay, the other reminders here, guys, about the local shows. Phil, normally 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, including Thursdays, at Fashion Furniture. Their good friend Rod Avedikian, where, by the way, they have the terrific January clearance still underway. El Paso, across from River Park, best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in all of California. The great conversation of Phil's show, some good eats as well. You can always reach Phil if you can't get there in person on the Lee's Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. Paul Metters has two fine shows, one on our sister station, the Deuce 790, Sunbird Sports Show 5 to 6 on Wednesday evenings, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then on Saturday mornings, the long-running show on 1430 from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. It is Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net. TDAD, the number one, at ATT.net. First names are fine. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. Remind you one more time about the schedules for Fresno State. The men, noon our time, from Clune Arena in Colorado Springs against Air Force. You can get that on DMW.com. The women are home at SMC at 3 o'clock tomorrow against Air Force. Hope you get out for that one. And then, as I mentioned earlier, softball gets started at home a week from today. Baseball gets started at home 2 weeks from today. So we're really closing in now on the spring sports. One final reminder before we jump on out of here. Again, our local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman have done so much for us and for the Valley. We appreciate it. And we also want to mention there are great deals going on right now, including for the limited time only, the classic or spicy $5 bowls. We're talking creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, melty cheese, crispy nuggets, all stacked in one bowl. You can go classic or you can bring the heat with the bold, spicy flavor. Either way, as always, it's finger-licking good. And they also have the $5 Maddie's Cheesy Nuggy Gravy Bowl. That's crispy nuggets, rich gravy, and plenty of cheese. No shortcuts. It's terrific as well. Big flavor, big comfort, just $5 only at the local KFCs for a limited time. And also keep in mind, they have great deals that have been ongoing during the week, including the Tuesday $10 eight-piece or eight tenders offer. Stop in those local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, Kerman. Pick up a meal or two and tell them thanks for supporting athletics in the Valley. So thanks goes out then to those local KFCs. Also to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, to everybody at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and to Jorge for his great work as always, and our great buddy and de facto co-host and tremendous good sport, as if he has a choice, Sir Jackson Moore. We'll see you guys on Monday. Stay tuned for Phil on KFIG Fresno.